Part 9. 80 children were in Dr. Cheng's hospital, most of them for asthma. The children were cared for by relatively young female and male nurses that disposed only of rudimentary medical knowledge. But Dr. Cheng had treated all of them with the utmost respect and love, which was the reason that they did better than they actually could. They were giving their ever best, not because of their salary, but because they truly liked to work with Dr. Cheng and had a deep compassion for the suffering of the children. This poor quality of the staff was one of the reasons that Dr. Cheng was convinced of needing a competent young colleague at his side to help him with personnel management and the difficult task of long-term medical training for the nurses. Cheng was at pains to refuse a service when he was asked for help, and thus the number of poor children constantly grew that were simply left in this hospital because the parents forgot to pick them up after they had given a wrong address when they had checked in the child. Cheng was therefore intending to build something like an orphanage adjacent to the hospital because these children took valuable space away for those who were waiting to get a place for treatment. While it was seldom that parents simply abandoned their child with him, it was frequent that parents asked him to keep one or several of their children because they could not feed all of them and generally either had no knowledge about birth control or were against it for various reasons. And Cheng was at pains to reject any such request for help, and therefore his responsibilities grew with every day and the situation became a little chaotic because Cheng alone was simply unable to manage such a complex situation in the long run. One of these children was a young, handsome native boy with the name of Kir Leo that Dr. Cheng now presented to his guests. The 10-year-old boy originated from a large family, and several of his numerous brothers and sisters had been asthma victims and passed away prematurely. The remaining ones were still so numerous that it was a miracle how the parents could feed them all. Kir Leo had been brought to the hospital when he was severely ill, but after he was cured, no parent came to pick him up again. An address they had left behind and where Dr. Cheng had written several times revealed to be wrong. And when he already had accepted the fact to have another child to care for, then one morning, Kir Leo's mother was in the waiting room and quickly approached Dr. Cheng. "Oh, doctor, dear doctor, please agree to keep my boy here so that he may diligently work for you and can make his way. We are unable to care for him as we do not know how to care for the remaining ones." Cheng listened to her quietly and nodded, whereupon the mother kneeled down in front of him, kissed his hand and thanked him many times. Dr. Cheng, who was not used to receiving open affection often, except from children, was moved and tears came in his eyes. He still kept silent until Kir Leo's mother, suddenly ashamed, rushed to the door, and then, before she went out, the old man said, "Don't worry about Kir Leo. He is fine here, and we all love him. He is a wonderful boy and very helpful to me indeed." Now Kir Leo met Kenny and his children and immediately felt strong sympathy for the young doctor from Bangkok who was so handsome and nice to the children. "What is your name?" asked Kir Leo, before Cheng could present Kenny to him. "My name is Kenny, and you are Kir Leo, right?" "Yes. How did you know my name?"
"Dr. Cheng told me."
"Did he tell you about me?"
"Yes. He said that you live here and that you are for him like his own son."
"Did he really say that?"
"Yes."
"That is very nice of him," Kir Leo ended, and tenderly put his arms around the hips of the old man, pressing his head against his belly. Dr. Cheng put his arms around the boy's back. He said nothing. There was nothing to say.
"Hey, Kir Leo, do you like to present us to the other children?" Connie asked, feeling a strong attraction for the handsome boy.
"Yes, I'd be pleased," Kir Leo replied and looked in Connie's face that he found very beautiful. Suddenly he felt insecure about himself and kind of timid, despite the fact that this never had happened before in the presence of other girls.
"Yes, yes," Yami explained and took Kir Leo's hand. "You will show us everything." Come, come.
Dr. Cheng said he would like to prepare the massage presentation and had thought to take Kirlio and the little girl as the patients. Kirlio had worked with these children since quite some time, and there was no risk that they'd be afraid or timid. And it did not matter that Kirlio himself had already been healed, as the massage was very good prophylaxis for any kind of disease and thus beneficial for everyone. Upon which the old doctor returned to his office, and Kenny and the children continued their visit and were astonished at the amount of trust level in this big family. Kenny silently wondered how much energy and wisdom Dr. Cheng must have invested to reach this level of effective communication and collaboration. Dr. Cheng explained to Tan Loki why and how they were going to organize the presentation, and the boy found the idea excellent.
The new doctor has a good vibration, he added softly.
And Dr. Cheng knew that this was the highest remark of estimation a native was able to express regarding a non-native.
Tan Loki, as so many natives, had a highly developed paranormal sense, which meant he also could see the aura of any being, human, animal, plant, or inanimate. And according to the prevailing colors in the aura spectrum, he knew better than any psychiatrist how the person was dealing with their emotions.
The vibration is peaceful, he calmly pursued, and there is no fear.
This will be a good doctor for our children, Tan Loki concluded.
Then he put his hand on Dr. Cheng's shoulder and gazed in his eyes.
Just like you, Doc.
Dr. Cheng slightly pulled the boy toward him and kissed him on his front.
Tan Loki, it's a good omen that you begin to like Dr. Tsanaga. I expected it, to be frank, because I know him since many years. While I'm conscious that I do not have your paranormal capacities, I just have acquired good common sense. You know, when you reach my age, you got a lot of experience with people.
Tan Loki took the glasses off the old doctor's nose and kissed him straight on his mouth.
Dr. Cheng said nothing. The boy was slightly taller than the old man, so that the latter had to raise his regard a little to see his face. And he remembered the years of his youth, and that he had been as tall and as strong as Tan Loki. Now in old age, as he expressed it, he had shrunk again a little.
Yes, Doc, but please don't think of your real age. I know that in your heart you are very young, even younger than I.
Upon which they embraced each other and went back to their work.
Tan Loki began clearing the space in the office, as the natives call the work, on the environmental energies. He used incense sticks and a simple broomstick. First, he carefully swept the room, really bit by bit, not leaving out an inch and not sparing out the corners. Then he meticulously cleaned all the furniture of dust, upon which he incensed the room while softly dancing and singing a melodic tune. Finally, he pronounced some magic formulas and then stood still for a while, as if in trance, concluding with a smile and the sentence, "The One Force." After this little initial ceremony, Tan Loki and Dr. Cheng took off their clothes and prepared for a rather extended shower. Tan Loki received Kenny and the children naked in the office and explained to them all the details of the ritual they were going to participate in. All went to the shower stand, also Kirlio and a little girl named Stelia, that with her paleness and fragile beauty and her gracious small body immediately won the sympathy of the audience. Kenny spontaneously offered friendship to the girl, upon which she joined him in the shower and let herself wash by him. Kenny enjoyed stroking the tender skin of the child with abundant foam, and the girl gazed at him with love. Kirlio, who was in the shower next to them, joined them without saying a word and sensuously put his arms around Kenny's legs. This was his way to express his sympathy for the new doctor, asking for the same care that Stelia just received by Kenny.
"Oof, now I'm already tired and I have not yet done any massage," Kenny jokingly exclaimed to the address of the old doctor, who replied in laughter that he had done a good preparatory exercise and that after all he should not think that the clap massage was kind of child play but rather serious business.
Tan Loki, who took shower with Dr. Cheng, added that the new doctor had to count at least 3 years of learning for not only learning the technique but even more so for getting his own body so soft, strong and pliable that he could give the massage like a tiger.
"Hey boy," Kenny replied, "how do you know what my body is like? There are certain boys who know that, but you are not one of them."
While all were laughing, Tan Loki replied with a smile, "The answer, my dear doctor, is very simple. I see your second body, and this gives me information about your first body."
For Kenny, these words remained a mystery for quite a long time. He often thought back of them and silently trusted the wisdom of his destiny and also the guidance he received by Dr. Cheng to one day know more about mnemonics, as Dr. Cheng had put in one catchy expression, the perennial science of the bioenergy. Back in Dr. Cheng's office, they sat down on the floor in a circle and joined in what Tan Loki called a vibrational chain.
"To form a vibrational chain," Tan Loki explained, "you now please give your left hand to your left neighbor and your right hand to your right neighbor. When you do this, you are going to establish a bioenergetic circle that has the effect that your individual body's mnemonic charge is connected to the charge of all the others. When one body charge and another body charge connect, you have not just one plus one or a twofold charge, but a manifold charge. Please be aware of this. It's a key to the understanding of the clap massage."
Before they sat down, Tan Loki had closed the windows and the curtains, and on the sideboard a candle was burning and a large incense stick kept the air crisp and pure. All were instinctively closing their eyes, and Tan Loki repeated, "Please keep relaxing now, relaxing and still more relaxing, and just let go all tension. Just give yourself over to the comfort and safety that you feel now, being more and more comfortable with yourself and all the others around you." After a while, Tan Loki added softly, "Please now stretch out on the floor while still holding hands, and please spread your legs apart so that your feet touch the feet of your neighbors."
The children crawled a bit closer inside the ring so that their feet could touch the feet of the adults next to them.
"This is a nice feeling," Kani commented.
"I find it exciting," Yami added.
Kirlio said nothing. On Kenny's right, he turned his head toward the young doctor and smiled. Kenny noted it and slightly turned toward the boy. For a moment they exchanged a deep, loving regard. Kirlio almost imperceptibly moved to the left so that his left hip got in touch with Kenny's right leg. Stelia went even farther to show her affection and put her leg over Kenny's leg. However, her behavior was met with disapproval.
"Stelia, I thought you knew that you can't receive the earth energies when you put your leg on anything else than the earth. Please put your leg down again. If you do not receive enough energy from the ground, you will get hurt later by the massage."
Stelia quickly put her leg back on the floor. She knew that the massage could hurt and leave blue spots if one did not respect any of the rules or one was tied up.
"Now please let go," Tan Loki pursued, "in the same way as the leaves of the mango tree do in the wind, and as the earth does when it receives the rain that penetrates it, and as the water does for the fish that swim in it."
After a pause, he continued, "Our bodies are now like leaves in the wind, receiving earth and water that tenderly embraces all fishes that swim in it, very supple, infinitely flexible, like bamboo." As if following up to a hypnotic suggestion,
The bodies of all participants serpented left and right, touched each other and left each other again, and once of a sudden resembled serpents that were dancing a mating dance. The children were tenderly rubbing their bodies against those of the adults. Now Tanloki ordered to be completely silent and to stop moving for one extended moment. Each participant had to focus on one's own body and energy. The task was to be as conscious as possible of one's body and the bodies all around oneself. Kenny felt a very comfortable tiredness coming up, and just before that happened, he had experienced a sudden sexual arousal that flowed through all the veins of his body, raising and vanishing like a tide. Eventually, Tanloki got up to a seated position and asked all participants to do the same. All were then sitting in the yogi position, and Tanloki announced that the massage could begin and that all the foregoing had been only an introduction and preparation to it. Dr. Cheng shortly commented that, however, this preparation had been very important, if not essential, for the body to get used to the exchange of the vital energies instead of accumulating energy. The right thing to do was to freely give and take energy so that the energy began to circulate freely among all participants. By contrast, accumulating energy, while first leading to a feeling of power, was eventually depleting one's vital energy charge because of the inevitable interplay of yin and yang. When you are too young, you will eventually become too yin as well, because one extreme attracts the other, Dr. Cheng commented. While when you try to circulate the energies and let them flow freely, you will keep a middle way between the extremes and you will be constantly alternating between yang and yin, which means in practice that you keep a middle way between the polar poles of yang and yin. Kenny suddenly got a flush of insight about the deeper workings of the club massage. Since years he had researched about the real causes of child asthma and more got to the conviction that it was the prototype of a psychosomatic illness that was a direct result of fear, the fear to be close to others, which was in turn an outcome of a more or less general fear of life. The uncontrollable contractions and convulsions of the bronchial muscles and the sympathetic heart muscle most probably resulted from negative vital energy called deadly orgone by Wilhelm Reich or Sha by the Chinese sages, which was in turn an energetic manifestation of the fear of life. Only this psychological explanation of the etiology of asthma could make understand, Kenny concluded, why only a certain part of children in the region were affected by child asthma while the majority were not, and this despite the fact that the negative ecological environment was the same for all of them. This was the conclusion of Kenny's research, but these insights never were made part of his medical work. He constantly had fear to be rejected among his colleagues and thus kept silent, except the exchanges he had with Dr. Cheng about the subject. Now he was ready to revise his entire professional worldview and put his medical work on a more honest basis. He was decided to find the way to really cure the disease at its root instead of just treating the symptoms of it. Tanloki asked his two patients to come in the middle of the energy circle. He put himself slightly forward and asked Delia to sit with her back against his legs. Then he spread his legs and pulled the girl toward his body. He asked Kenny to do the same with Kirlio, who smiled because he was looking forward to being massaged by Kenny. Tanloki then took Delia's right hand and asked the girl to make a fist. His left hand he put under the girl's left arm and raised it slightly. It is very important to begin the massage with the right fist, treating the left upper arm of the patient, Tanloki explained. Dr. Cheng commented softly that this was so because the left arm was connected with the heart muscle. Kenny nodded and tried to do precisely what Tanloki was asking for. Kilio, who practiced the massage with Tanloki for 1 year, helped Kenny understanding the basics. Did Kenny something wrong? Kilio turned around toward him and told him what he had to correct. The second thing that is very important, Tanloki pursued, is that you do not use your own fist for treating the child's body, but the child's fist. So actually, you take the child's fist in your hand and use it as a sort of hammer. I know that this sounds very strange, Dr. Chang commented toward his younger colleague, but this is really essential, for our task is to stimulate the energy continuum of the child, but not to interfere in this continuum. While in the preparatory exercise, our energy systems were kind of connected to each other, right? Kani observed intelligently. Yes, true, Tanloki replied with a smile. We have to learn both, to fuse with others and to separate again. For with asthma, the real cause of the disease is an inability to change from one mode to the other. One is stuck with one behavior pattern, either being too symbiotic or too aloof. Thus, the true cause of asthma is a lack of energetic exchange with others because of high anxiety in relationships. Yes, Dr. Chang, Kenny remarked thoughtfully. Now all this makes sense to me, and it's as if I was newborn in another world that is much more intelligent than the one I was living in before. Here I find once of a sudden all the answers that since 10 years I was looking for in vain. Please take it easy, dear Kenny. May I call you like that? For this was exactly the same with me. All my real knowledge I owe to this native boy and the wisdom of his tribe. You can call me Kenny. And how may I address you, Dr. Chang? My real first name is Patum, but I prefer you calling me Jim. Okay then, Jim. Kenny stretched his hand out to the old doctor and told him to consider him from now as his friend. And Yami and Kani jubilated and hugged and kissed the old doctor so that his glasses were falling in his lap. Well, well, truly, I did no more expect this to happen in my life and to gain so much support for my solitary work, Dr. Chang exclaimed in an attitude of deep humility. Tanloki asked the children to take their places because the massage should not be interrupted once it had begun. When Kenny and the children came back to the hotel late in the evening, they virtually fell in their beds, so tired they were. And this tiredness was the most gorgeous feeling they ever had experienced, as this fatigue was accompanied by high body heat, a streaming, flowing energy that rendered the body absolutely supple and vigorous. And Kilio did not want to let Kenny go and wanted to sleep with him. Shortly thereafter, their naked bodies were mixed up in the large bed while the full moon was giving them a pale tan and the nightly breeze moved the branches of the large mango tree. And two small monkeys were running up and down the trunk of one of them, and this was a wonderfully coordinated flowing movement that appeared like a dance in midst of joy, harmony, and peace. The next morning, Kenny woke up already at 4 o'clock and fought his tiredness as he was decided to try the massage upon himself. He carefully glided out of the bed so as to not wake the children up, but as they instinctively felt the human presence vanishing, they crawled together as if they wanted to fill the vacuum with their own presence. Kenny kissed them and covered them with a blanket before he went to the bathroom. He first brushed his teeth and washed himself and then sat down on the floor in the yogi position and began to massage his left arm with his right fist. The massage took about 1 hour, upon which Kenny felt strong and calm, filled with a delightful flow of peace and joy. His thoughts were cleansed of all negative emotions and he thanked for the new day.